Before we begin, Simran and I would like to acknowledge that we're recording this on the unceded land of the Kulin people. Simran's recording from her home on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung country, and I'm recording from mine on Bunurong country. We'd also like to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Yugambeh people of the... Kombamari people of the Yugambeh language group, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay our respects to First Nations elders past and present. Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Simran Pasricha.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And this is the podcast for burnt out divas trying to stay
broadly relevant.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Simran. Are you really time poor today?
I sure am. So we're going to get this through really quickly and it's going to be so much fun. And that's the check-in question that we have. Am I time poor? I am.
I love that. What are you doing today?
Oh, I'm going to work.
Oh, journalism is so important.
It's up and coming for sure. It's an up and coming industry. What are you doing today?
I have a reading group where we're reading a book on the philosophy of waste and what we discard and who we discard, which is very interesting.
So like the same thing, basically.
Yeah. Journalism. Yeah.
Lots happening in culture today. Oh my God, everyone's getting involved in this Sydney Sweeney drama.
Feral.
I can't remember. Yeah. But basically, if you are unaware of this Sydney Sweeney situation, Sydney Sweeney from her Euphoria fame, if you don't know who she is, she's blonde hair, blue eyed. I think that's an important piece of information that people need to know in this story.
And no shame to those who are blonde and blue eyed.
No, totally. No shame. At all. None whatsoever. So she had an ad with American Eagle Outfitters. And I just like learned that that was the brand name, American Eagle Outfitters. I just thought it was American Eagle.
That's crazy.
So she had an ad with them and it was a really weird ad. I'm not going to lie. It was very bizarre. It was her in a super like raspy voice. And I say this note because everyone is like, that's just how it sounds. No, it's not. Like, that's not how she sounds actually in real life, in her interviews and et cetera, et cetera. So in the commercial, Sweeney says, genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My genes are blue. And then that is kind of where everyone is like, what the damn hell? What does that even mean? What does
that
have to do with anything?
So fascist. Literally so fascist.
Yeah. So basically everyone was like, okay, this is giving white supremacy. It's giving, you know, eugenics. It's giving Nazi. And that is kind of where the outrage began because, you know, compare, it's like the genes of it all. Also, my note is, even when people are like saying like my genes are blue, I feel like I remember when people were like really pro police, people saying that as well, like my blood like runs blue.
Yeah.
So I was like already, even if this wasn't about like Nazi propaganda, this would already be like weird, like in that own standalone situation.
Oh yeah.
Adding to that, Sydney Sweeney does have a lot of Trump supporters like in her family. She once was like caught like at like a Trump themed birthday party. I think it was like for like an older relative of hers. And you know, so like the backlash is there. Again, she is blue eyed, blonde hair. All right. Doesn't really help the situation. A lot of people have been jumping in on the discourse of this. Doja Cat posted a really funny satire piece about it. Lizzo did the same, I think. And American Eagle also said in a statement, Sydney Sweeney has great genes, is and always was about the genes, her story. We'll continue to celebrate how everyone wears their AE genes with confidence their way. Great genes look good on everyone. Why do I feel like that's like a worse statement than the actual ad?
I thought maybe I'm hallucinating. You know, maybe I am the ChatGPT, but I feel like I read that Sydney Sweeney is registered as a Republican in Florida.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. It was Florida, but wait, let me look that up.
Florida woman does ad for American Eagle.
Yes, you are right. She is reportedly registered to vote in Florida as Republican in June 2024. So this was a few months before Trump's victory over Kamala Harris in the presidential election. So she's a registered Republican. And The Republicans are loving this. First of all, last week, the White House, like a White House staff member, like weighed in on the situation, and his name is Stephen Chung. He's the White House communications manager, and he responded to the ad on Twitter and was basically like, oh my God, cancel culture has like run amok. This warped, moronic, and dense liberal thinking is a big reason why Americans voted the way they did in 2024. They're tired of this bullshit. Anyways, dense liberal thinking is my new brand, I feel like I really like dense liberal thinking.
Update the Insta bio, everyone.
Oh, I love it so much. I'm taking that. Megyn Kelly, that like Fox News person, she was also like, oh, like this is like woke culture gone too far, blah, blah, blah. Now, Donald Trump, because apparently he has so much free time, has also weighed in on the situation. So he was asked about what he thinks about the ad and what he thinks about her being a Republican. And he says, she's a registered Republican. Oh, now I love her ad. Is that right? Is that right? Is Sydney Sweeney? You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known. But I'm glad you told me that. Sydney Sweeney is a registered Republican. I think her ad is fantastic. Anyways, oh, I'm like so, like, I want to throw up by that. That's like so bonkers that he's even weighing in on such a topic. He then goes on to talk about it on Truth Social. And can I tell you, Truth Social is such a fucking cursed place. But I made like an account, like, for work because I needed to like grab a tweet from him for like an article that I was writing. And it is so scary because they make you follow people. And I'm like, I don't want to follow anybody.
Do you have your name or is it like an anonymous account?
It's an anonymous account. Yeah, and there was just like no reason for me to be on it. Oh, sorry. How gross. But Donald Trump said, Sydney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there. It's for American Eagle and the jeans are flying off the shelf. Go get him, Sydney. On the other side of the ledger, Jaguar did a stupid and seriously woke advertisement. That is a total disaster. CEO just resigned in disgrace and the company is in absolute turmoil. Who wants to buy a Jaguar after looking at this disgraceful ad? Shouldn't they have learned a lesson from Bud Light, which went woke and essentially destroyed in a short campaign the company? He's so nonsensical in like how he tweets, but Truth Socials, I don't know what the verb is for that. I don't want to know. The market cap destruction has been unprecedented, with billions of dollars so foolishly lost. Or just look at woke singer Taylor Swift. I don't know why he's so obsessed with Taylor Swift.
He's not woke. Like,
yeah, literally. Like, choose a woke artist. I don't know. Ever since I alerted the world as to what she was by saying on Truth that I can't stand her. And then he goes brackets on all caps, hate exclamation point. And then full stop. The grammatical issues in this is crazy. And then she was like, oh, and then this is the best part. She was booed out of the Super Bowl and became no longer hot.
Do you think it's a coincidence that Taylor Swift has stopped releasing music after Kamala lost?
I do think it's coincidence. I don't think that's... Again, she's not woke. Sorry.
She's protesting.
Yeah. We have to stop giving her credit for, like, nothing, you know? But, yeah, it's actually insane to me that he has time to like weigh in on such issues whilst the world is quite literally on fire. I've seen a lot of people say this discourse has like gone too far and that like, you know, Sydney Sweeney isn't a Nazi or anything. But I do think that there is, I do think in this like environment that we are in,
I think
like context matters.
I think if there are in fact a lot of Nazis around, you do have to do a little bit of work to make sure you aren't accidentally a Nazi, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Even if you aren't a Nazi, maybe like double check, you know?
Well, because that's the thing. I think a lot of people have realized that they are in fact Nazis.
Yeah.
And I say that frivolously, but like,
yeah,
people have realized that they are in fact horrible people and they're voting for these horrible people. And it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, make it make sense. I also wonder like how this is going to go in the Euphoria set. That's like my...
Are they still doing that?
So they're doing like the final season, I'm pretty sure. And Pop Crave reported that like some of the stars were hanging out, including Hunter Schafer, who has been very vocally against...
Love Hunter Schafer.
You know, and very vocally against Republicans. So I wonder how that dynamic is going to go. I don't know. Will the cast cancel her? Who knows? Will Zendaya speak out? Probably not. Yeah.
Well, in other news, have you heard about what's been happening on Steam and itch.io recently?
You're saying so many things that I don't understand whatsoever.
So it's broadly culture. Do you know what Steam is?
No. And this is why we work, baby.
Here's me getting a story that I'm like, this is ground shaking.
Ryan, when he like said that he had something for culture, he's like, no, I've got it, you guys.
Okay, so Steam is an online game store, essentially, where you can like buy video games through it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the iTunes movies of video games.
Okay.
Great, gorgeous. There's another smaller, more indie version of it called itch.io. Steam is massive. Like Steam is the way that like most people get their video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So over, this did happen a couple of weeks ago, but we haven't talked about it. So, so basically what's happened is that Steam and Itch, have updated their guidelines to ban certain kinds of adult content, in the process of removing a lot of games that don't fit within these, content standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Steam's removed a bunch of games. Itch.io has delisted every single game marked as not safe for work so that you cannot find them on the platform. If you already have them, you can still have them, but you cannot find additional ones. And it's due to this massive brouhaha, that's the term that I'm going to call it, arisen from an Australian-based activist group called Collective Shout. Now, Collective Shout was started in 2009 by someone named Melinda Tankard-Reist, who, her Wikipedia page describes her as an advocate for women and girls, comma, a pro-life feminist.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at. But Collective Shout basically describes itself as a grassroots movement challenging the objectification of women and sexualization of girls in media, advertising, and popular culture. Some news and advocacy organizations consider their agenda to be anti-porn. And so what they've been doing in the past couple of years, you might remember some of their activism was involved. Do you remember when OnlyFans was going to ban porn?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, what do you mean? And do you remember how Pornhub got really strict as well about the porn on its platform, which broadly was a good thing because there was a lot of pirated and illegal content on there. Broadly, that was a good thing. But the reason why all these sites are like suddenly doing really weird things where I'm like, but that's why people go to you, is because Collective Shout, which is this Australian advocacy thing based in Sydney, which is like crazy. I'm like, guys, that's an hour flight away, does a lot of advocacy to payment processing platforms. So PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, JCB, and other American ones, to seize processing payments on platforms which support things that are out of the bounds of their morals. And they're specifically, they've constructed this sort of like moral brouhaha, alleging that a lot of the games on Itch and Steam are rape, incest, and child sexual abuse themed games, which there are certainly games like that on these platforms.
Yep. Yep.
But at the same time, also what's happened in the removal of all these games is a shit ton of LGBTQIA plus games have been taken down, a lot of romance games, and a lot of games that have helped people through sort of dealing with their trauma and abuse, which is not slay. But so that's the tea. Basically, the internet is getting sanitized because payment processing fees don't want to deal with the pro-life feminists.
Interesting. So is anyone like doing anything about that? Or like, are people boycotting like a platform?
No, not at
present.
What's
the vibe in the gaming like community? So, do people do that?
Do you remember Gamergate?
No.
Simran.
Maybe? I don't think so.
Gamergate.
No.
This was like 2012, 2013.
This is when you were pretending not to be my friend.
You know what? I think last year I told you I was going to do a deep dive on this when I was also shocked last year that you didn't know this.
And maybe next week we'll come to it.
So Gamergate was like a massively influential moment in, like, arguably you can attribute Trump's win to Gamergate. But Gamergate was this big brouhaha where a bunch of female games journalists and critics and game makers were, you know, stalked, harassed, bullied, all the things by a really vitriolic collection of online men.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of that movement, that sort of coagulation of those online men came from 4chan, and it's sort of like, you know how like the trolls and the Nazis have all been growing online? That was really the first big
starting point.
Not the starting point, because obviously Nazis always have been around.
Yeah, so
but
true,
the
so
first
true.
Sort of like big outing that they did where they realized that like they can sort of shift public opinion and sort of get, you know, people who they don't like deplatformed and stuff. Anywho, so it's just interesting that it's come to this, which is not Slay. And it's just like, if you're a pro-life feminist, I don't want to hear what you have to say about, you know, the morality of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. But yeah, that's me.
Period. Should we move to news?
Broadly news.
Some interesting news, and maybe very niche, but it's all over my For You page and in my banking app. UpBank has introduced new interest rates to its customers. If you don't know what UpBank is, it is a bank in Australia here. They're a completely online digital bank, which is kind of like their unique selling point, I guess. Their app is very cool and orange, and it's a nice interface, and you get to have like lots of different saver accounts. But basically, in the app, they introduced a new interest structure that will be starting from September 1st. So currently, you can earn 3.85% on all savers after meeting the criteria of 5 transactions per month. And so in their new changes, which they have labeled grow and flow, this is what's happening. So a grow rate of 4.85% after 5 eligible transactions per savings account. You can have that as long as you don't withdraw or spend any money from this account from that month. And the flow rate of 1.5% after 5 eligible transactions from all savings accounts that have money withdrawn from during the month. So like if you're withdrawing from these like savers accounts, then you have 1.5%. If you don't, then you have 4.85%. 4.85% is quite a high interest rate. Like I'll give them that. But I think a lot of people are quite enraged. There's like Reddit threads. It's like people are making like multiple TikToks. A lot of like finance creators are getting like handed to like explain why this change is kind of happening. And I, you know, and I'm an UpBank user. And
you're impacted.
True, it's me. And I was shocked by this also, specifically because of how they market their app and their bank. So the TikTok creator, Steph, Abundant on a Budget is her TikTok user. And I really liked her video on this whole situation because she says that UpBank uses these digital envelope systems. So I don't know if you've heard of like the envelope system of like saving, but basically you put in like different amounts of money and like cash usually in different envelopes for like, let's say like your travel or like your medical expenses or like a sinking fund, that sort of thing. And so Up has that same, you know, structure where you can do all these like sort of different saving accounts. So like it's natural for you to be taking in and out of these saving accounts. But Steph says like, that's kind of really random. She says, on the one hand, it's not unusual for banks to have a lot of hoops to jump through to achieve their high interest rate. Basically they're like 4.8 interest rate. And again, the interest rate is higher. But she does say, the thing is, it is so unattainable for most people, especially with how Up has marketed themselves as this digital cash and envelope platform. They've really encouraged you to use savers to manage your everyday spending, and so it feels a little bit like they're now penalizing their customers for using the bank in the way that it was apparently intended to. And I completely agree. She goes on to say that like sometimes this happens, like they like introduce this sort of more hoops when like either they're like losing money or they want to like introduce more like lending options. I don't know anything about that. That's all allegedly and like reported from this woman that we'll link down below. But I find that like really interesting in the world of I don't know if it's just because I really enjoy finance, but I think it's quite disappointing, especially in the way that like we are in a cost of living crisis and people are finding saving much harder. And I guess the way that you are like marketing your platform is to make saving like easier and like having like smaller amount of like savings for like different sections of your life. She also mentions that it's like really helpful for like neurodivergent people, and this is going to like change a lot of things for people. So yeah, it was kind of a disappointing take, but Up is really good at taking feedback from their customers, and you can go in the app and like have direct feedback and they're taking that on. So who knows if that will change things, because in the Reddit threads, people are already like jumping ship to other bank accounts. What do you think?
Well, every time I see someone using the little Up app, it looks really fun and satisfying. So I'll give them that.
And it is. And they give you like a yearly wrapped of like what you've spent.
That's cool. Yeah, because Combank, I'm like, because as you were saying that, I was like, what does the Combank app do? And it just has like things where it's like, it just tracks your spending for different categories. And I'm like, but that's not the same as envelopes. Because I used to use a different app for that. But it's just, yeah. Yeah. I want a fun app. And why are they penalizing the people for using the fun app?
Period. Can't we have fun things anymore?
Don't they know that there's an app for that?
Literally. What else is happening in news, Ryan?
In other news, have you seen I mean, obviously you've seen them. I don't know why I'm asking that rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Did you see the Palestine marches that happened on Sunday? How brilliant.
I did. It was kind of incredible to see so many people show up for the people in Gaza.
Well, the estimates are around 300,000 people walked across the bridge, which is so exciting to see. And then it's interesting to see how the sort of like rhetoric in Australian politics has slightly shifted this week. Like Penny Wong has been saying things, which I'll get to in a second. I read a really interesting analysis this morning talking about how Chris Minns is the premier of New South Wales, where there was the massive march on the bridge, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, if you were confused about which bridge. And it was talking about how, like, it was ultimately a really good thing for him that the courts said that the protest had to be allowed to happen, because what probably would have happened is that if the courts said no protest can go on, still you would have gotten a significant contingent of people doing it anyways, because we have a right to protest, and which would have completely undermined the Minns government and sort of police power, which broadly I think we should undermine police power, but that's a separate discussion. But it's been really interesting. So since Albanese's come out and said that he wants to speak to Netanyahu, so
That'll fix everything.
And Penny Wong has basically come out saying that it's not a question of if the world will recognize Palestine as a state, but when. And then she said the fucking most chilling and diabolical thing, which was that, and I'm going to quote it to you so no one can accuse me of, you know,
fake news.
Where did it go? I hate when you search for something on ABC News and it pulls up the thing you need to see, and then you click it and it's like, it's a video. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it anyway. She said that there is a risk there will be no Palestine left to recognize if the international community don't move to create the pathway to a two-state solution, which is just frankly infuriating to hear after 2 years of genocide denial from Penny Wong. It's like, and I understand she is a politician and I need to stop being disappointed by politicians, but it's like, imagine if she had a backbone and had said what she needed to say at the time. Like, it's gay marriage all over again. Because she famously was not pushing for gay marriage despite being a literal lesbian. And then suddenly it's the plebiscite and she's like, oh, how good we're doing it now. And I'm like, imagine if you had a fucking backbone. Anywho.
I think there's nuance in that, like, beforehand, like, with the gay rights situation.
Yeah, but the nuance is that politicians are far too worried about doing what the opinion polls suggest, and rather than doing what they feel is right, you know?
I agree. Yeah. But I think going back to the gay-likeness of it all, I think being a gay woman of color is also like a safety thing, saying a piece on that.
Go on.
As being a gay woman of color, like, you know.
Speak to that.
This is so off topic. And why am I defending Penny Wong right now? But it's like... And I'm not, but I think the like added context of her being a woman of color who is a lesbian, it's not always like the safest option to like speak up for yourself. Obviously, she's in a different position being a politician, and that comes with like a duty of care in itself. But I think to like simplify it down to being like what the polls are, like the polls also have effect on like how you are perceived and therefore how you go about, you know?
No.
How and like the world will treat you.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
And I hear that, but I'm like, I think it's a bit disingenuous to say, oh, she might be unsafe. Well, then she should not have run for parliament.
Okay, so hear what you're saying.
Sorry, run for the Senate because she's a senator.
No, totally. Okay, but then like no woman of color who is gay would ever run for parliament or the Senate.
So, okay, so hang on. Are you suggesting that the good thing to do is to have a marginalized identity and then run, get in, and then don't campaign for anything to do with that identity because it might be dangerous once you're there.
No, and that's a dumb collection of what you...
No, you strawmanned me, Ryan.
You know that's not what I'm saying. Because...
Is that not what you're saying?
Absolutely not what I'm saying. I just think that all parts need to be considered and not everything is black and white. In that situation, in this situation, it is black and white because we have been seeing the atrocity for like years. So, you know what I mean? And like, it's not like she is personally affected by the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Don't yell at me. I'll yell at you. I'm not defending Penny Wong. I want to be clear.
No, because the whole thing, right? This is what Senator Wong said when Senator Fatima Payman crossed the floor to vote with the Greens to recognize Palestinian statehood. Wong said that Payman should have voted with the party line, specifically like she had to on gay marriage. And it's like, well, now, you know, less than a or just a year after Senator Fatima Payman breaks with the Labour Party line to vote with her conscience, now Wong is coming around and going, oh, maybe we do need to recognise Palestinian statehood. Imagine if she had the backbone at the time, you know? It's like, I don't know. It just pisses me off because we're playing with people's lives. Like, it's genocide.
No, I agree with you. I just don't think that the two are comparable.
She compared them. She said, like I had to with gay marriage, she should vote with the party line. Senator fucking Penny Wong brought it up. She started it.
Hey, you're right. I don't know why we're fighting. I think we're on the same page.
Don't you always say you want to have a fight with me?
I don't. Not like this.
I just think it's completely ridiculous.
I agree.
No, because I think my key point is that if you're going to run on a platform of representation, and representation is good, mm-hmm. right? Which it was a whole thing. Senator Wong was the first openly LGBTIQ woman in the Senate, right? If you're going to run on that and make representation your whole shtick, you cannot then completely undermine that representation in every way you vote and every policy you put forward, right? What is the point of representation if we just let representation continue to, you know, allow oppression? It's pinkwashing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I agree.
I don't know. Nobody gets me quite as angry as Penny Wong.
It's so true. Look, you're lucky you're gay for saying that, because if a white man said all that shit... You're so lucky that you got to choose to be gay. I feel like this is the episode we get cancelled.
Anywho.
Broadly deep. I don't know what you're doing.
So Simran, I thought to rekindle our relationship after that fight that we just had. I thought we could ask each other the 36 questions that lead to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So
thank goodness. Also, if you thought we were going to do the Big Brother application, actually, we found out if you talk about it a lot on social media, they won't pick you. So we're saving Ryan.
Look, I don't think they'll pick me, and it's because I've gotten...
Ryan!
I got to the first page of it, and it says link to Instagram profile. And I'm like, well, there's a Palestine emoji in my bio, so...
I think you could do it.
Are you it with? You think the Australian media is going to platform anyone who says free Palestine? You think that will ever happen?
Why not? Give it a chance. You have to give people a chance.
Obviously, I'll apply because I would love to get in the house and say one state, Palestine.
Exactly. But, and then you can just leave after that. Like,
no. Well, they might edit me out of the entire series. Anywho, 36 questions to fall in love.
Okay.
This is the first question. No, we'll skip to the second question because here's the thing, right? You always sit down and you're like, we're going to do the 36 questions. And like, I have answered the first question too many times and it's so boring. Mm. So we're going to skip to the second question.
Doing this?
I sometimes bring it up on first dates as like as to be quirky, and I actually think it's really intense. I've done it like at least twice on a first date.
Does it ever lead to a second date? The silence is deafening.
So, would you like to be famous in what way?
Ooh, I'd like to be medium famous. My actual dream of how to be famous is to have a really famous friend or famous like cousin or sibling, and to like live off of their fame and be like the mysterious, like, oh my God, like the cousin is like always like cooler sort of thing. Like, have you seen like this cousin do things? Because you're not like super in the spotlight, but you get to like reap the rewards. Yeah. And I'd like to be like on staff of one of my cousins as they are really famous. And I have hope, honestly. One of my cousins Jones is a screenwriter, and although screenwriters also don't get a lot of fame per se, but she'll be in the world, and I think she has potential, and that's how I'll be famous. Yep. What about you?
Absolutely, 100%. And I think I'd like to be famous in like the way that like not like broadly famous, but like famous within like my little niche. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and it's like everyone who cares about the niche knows I'm good at that thing, and that niche would be theater. But broadly,
but you also have to be on Big Brother, so like you have to be famous for that.
Yeah, like Courtney Act famous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Or Australian famous, I think I could do.
I think that's worse.
You don't want Australian famous? You want American famous?
No, I want like a niche country famous.
Oh, like San Marino?
Yeah. Just feel like anywhere seems like very intense to be famous.
You could be Vatican City famous.
I know that's like funny that like we're actually like speaking on a fucking podcast now and we're like, we don't want to be, blah, blah, blah. People don't want to know us. I guess I want them to know us for our minds and for our inside
joke. Yeah, I feel that. Let's name three things you and I appear to have in common. So we each have to name three things that we have in common.
Okay. Oh my God. This is scary. All right.
Maybe we'll take turns. I'm going to say... our sort of relationship to national identity.
Okay. We're both white.
No, I meant. No, but it's like, where are you from? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
And like, where are we from?
Same, babe. Our experience is the same, my love.
Yeah. I've always felt that.
For those listening and you've never listened before, I'm an Indian woman, all right? No, I do love when people ask us like where we're from or like if we're American and we're like, no, we're not.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. That? I was texting someone yesterday and they were like, oh, why is, because, and I was just like, oh yeah, I grew up on the Gold Coast. And they were like, oh, so the accent is a choice? And I was like, no, no. I was like, no, it's.
What read ever.
Okay.
Wait, that's really good. I want to use that.
What's something we have in common?
Wait, no, I want to use that in an American.
But also, I've spoken to so many people who are like, who assume that I am just local, but just like autistic and watch too much TV as a kid. Cause that's another thing that happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, what's something else we have in common? We both hate people who can't take criticism.
Ugh, amen.
Yeah.
Hate that. And that's Penny Wong to a T.
T. See, we do agree. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, 14. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it?
Ooh, okay, shit. Slap me in the face, why don't you? But don't do that.
Well, I've dreamed of slapping you in the face for a long time. But I haven't done it.
I really wanted to write a children's book for a long time. That's my truth.
Surely do it.
You were going to think that I was going to say that I wanted to be a singer. And the thing is, that's always in my head. But I actually don't think I'm a very good singer. Ryan, this is where you go, no, Simran, you're an okay singer.
You're a great singer, from my recollection. You're a great singer.
Ryan. Yeah. And the thing is, Ryan, you're the only one who knows this in our Melbourne world. So, like, you need to start spreading that rumor.
Why don't you sing more? It's not a rumor. It's true.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Do a little solo right now.
No. That's why I can't do it.
Is this something I've dreamed of doing for a long time? I think I'd love to star in a musical. Can't sing, but God, I'd love to star in a musical.
Totally. We'll write it.
What do you value most in a friendship?
Oh my God. Okay. This seems intense, but okay.
It's only going to get more intense.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Understanding, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I think that relationships ebb and flow. And if there's a foundation of like understanding and really like knowing this person's values and also being patient with a person, I think that a relationship can last a really long time. Because I won't be 100% all the time and they won't be 100% all the time. And we need to be okay with that.
Yeah. I think down to clownedness.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, you know, let's just do the thing. And I think that's part of, like, I think that's related to your thing. Because it's like, even if we haven't seen each other for like 6 months, I'm still down to clown.
Yeah.
And if you're down to clown, well, we can do anything, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's kind of beautiful.
Broadly relevant is in many ways the peak of clowning.
Yeah. So true. Wow. It all comes back to comedy, doesn't it?
It does. Which you're really great at.
Thanks, babe.
If you knew in 1 year you would die suddenly, would you change anything about the way that you're now living and why?
Oh, my goodness. No wonder you're not getting these second dates, Ryan. What the heck?
Well, we usually don't get this far because normally we spend too much time on who would you go to dinner with.
I think, yeah, obviously I would. I'd quit my job. Sorry. Love them, but I would quit and I'd travel the world and I think I'd still do the podcast. Absolutely.
Oh, 100%. And it would go viral for that last year.
Absolutely. Because I'd be like, this is the last year, you guys. You guys suck if you don't listen.
We'd be putting out daily episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we start that conspiracy theory? No, I don't want to put that into the universe.
No, because you never know.
No, and I plan to live forever. So.
I don't know if I would change much of my life. Like, I think so much of my life is, like, things I want to do. Like, period. I would still want to see a lot of theater. Maybe I would just not go to the most boring theater that I know is going to be boring. But it's like, I'm already doing exciting things for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Can I magically flick a switch and be famous for the last year as well?
Sure, why not?
Great, I'll do that.
Okay. Go through all the trials and tribulations.
Exactly. How do you... You can decide if you want to answer this on the party. How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
It's funny because both of our mothers sometimes listen.
Yeah.
One always listens, I think.
I haven't gotten a message from mom recently about her listening to it. So I don't know if she's still a number one listener.
Yeah. Mine listens when she can figure out how to switch it on, basically.
Yeah.
Love her. Best with her. I think it's, for the most part, quite good. And I think it's gotten a lot better as I've aged. I think I was a horrible teenager. But I also don't think that, like, neither of us were, like, equipped to, like, go through that together.
Yeah, I have a lot more empathy and understanding now.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, no mother-daughter relationship is perfect. But I think there's a level of understanding in the same way that
I really value, like, the insights that she brings, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I also value the insights that your mom brings.
Share with your partner an embarrassing moment from your life.
This. Ooh, I don't know. You go first.
I cannot think of something right now, but I know I have been absolutely humiliated before. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can feel the feeling. Like, I can remember the feeling, but I can't remember when I felt it.
Yeah.
Hey, we may be just better than everyone else because we've gotten over our fear of embarrassment.
I don't think I have.
Well, there's nothing more humiliating, I think, than starting a middle tier podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That is quite humiliating. I was serious when I said this.
No, and because sometimes I bring it up and I'm like... I wish you didn't know.
Is this why you don't post about it on your Instagram? Because I'm on the pods calling you out right now.
Nope. I'm going to post about this episode when it comes out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Everyone keep Ryan accountable.
When did you last cry in front of another person and by yourself?
Oh, God. Like yesterday? Oh, my God. I cried yesterday because I started an irrational fight with my partner.
Oh, so important.
And
love
that
you,
I was
Chloe.
Embarrassed about it. What about you?
I think I had a couch sit down and we were talking about autism and I was like, ah, it sucks. Specifically having it, not like broadly people with it.
Good clarification.
It was so important. What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about, Simran?
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that's a real thinker, actually.
Yeah.
Because I'm not convinced there's anything you can't joke about.
I think it depends. You having that experience really helps, like, lends to being able to joke about it.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, if someone was, like, losing their child or something like that, I feel like that wouldn't be okay to joke about unless you yourself have done that.
Yeah. I think it's not, like, topic-based. I think it's context-based, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, what are the vibes and what are the relationships that indicate based on whether you can joke about something? Because also a joke doesn't have to be for everyone. It can be for a person in a room, you know?
Yeah.
And if everyone in that room is down to clown, you know?
Yeah. How, but then again, like...
But also, I think there are ways, like, you know, like, I think it would be inappropriate to make a joke about people dying in Gaza, but is it perfectly acceptable to make a joke about Netanyahu? Absolutely, because he's a fucking clown.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't think you can say, like, oh, you can't joke about Gaza, because, like, I think jokes as a political tool can be important to, like, take the power out of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Punch up, not down.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good life lesson, isn't it? I want to do, I'm like figuring out like a set for like a comedy show that I have coming up. And the concept that I have is raiding my high school bullies.
I can't wait.
And I thought, you know, bullying is bad, obviously, but oh my God, it's so much fun once you're on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret not having told someone, and why haven't you told them yet?
Oh my God, tea.
I'll start. I think I would regret not talking more to my parents. And if they're listening now, I have a reminder set in my phone to text you a big thing soon. So that'll come.
Nice.
Anyhow, how about you?
That's really nice. I think probably the same. I think, yeah, I don't speak enough to my siblings and to my, yeah, and I feel like I need to. They're the OGs, you know?
Mm. Now I've got a final question for us. Share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how to fix it. And also ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you've chosen.
Okay, T. Okay, shit. All right, you go.
Okay, I feel like my problem is that, like, broadly, I feel like I haven't really achieved anything of value in my life.
Whoa. Babe, that's a big problem. Sorry, I'm not laughing. I'm
like, I don't know. I just feel like I haven't really done anything that matters. And it's, yeah. And I just, yeah, I feel like everyone else is out here doing important things. And I've just, you know, done some cool things, but nothing that really matters. And, but then also I'm like, what matters? You know, I don't know. And maybe joy and the little moments matter the most, but I'm not convinced. I think I also need to fix the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, and I think this is an issue that both of us like grapple with a lot.
You can't copy my problem.
Hey, sorry, I'll say it. Wait, one more thing that we have in common is
that.
Yeah, but going to my therapist about it, and this is trickle down therapy. I love it.
Fuck yeah, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Is that you should list down all of the things that you have achieved. Like, take a moment, take an hour.
That's
and
good.
Things will come to you. And then in terms of, like, the impact that it's made, list one person that you think would have been impacted by it.
Oh, there's definitely been at least one person who's been impacted by my work.
Exactly. And that's, like, all that matters, because it only takes one person to change the world. And maybe you change that person's world and they will go on to do better things.
I'm going
to
push back on that.
Okay.
I'm reading this really interesting intro to discard studies, which is talking about the philosophy of waste and what is waste. And it's talking about how, like, a big problem in sort of like waste management is sort of people focus on solutions that aren't necessarily matched in terms of how big they can solve to how big the issues are. Like, there's like a misalignment of scale. So everyone talks about, like, oh, you know, we need to recycle to clean up the planet. And it's like the amount of waste that is produced is, and like, even if we manage to recycle every bit of plastic, the world is still going to shit because of all these other reasons. And it's like all the psychological effort of putting it into this is not the solve. And so I guess I want to push back on the idea of, like, is helping one person enough? You know, when we live in a world so brutally broken and there are people who can, like, you know, kill 100 people like that in a day just for seeking food, is helping one person enough?
But I think the point of the list is that you will find that you are not just helping one person, you are helping, like, multiple people, and, like, as much as you can on your scale. So, like, as much as, you know, like, the concept of, you know, like, the climate dying and things like that is, like, there's only, and then also you have to consider, like, bandwidth, you know,
and
resources, you know? And so in the same way, you should consider your own bandwidth and resources in terms of, like, how you're impacting this space and world.
I don't know. And I hear that, but it's just sometimes that thing of, like, the world is getting worse at this rate. Maybe I can make it only get worse at this rate. But I'm like, is there something else I could be doing to just, like, I don't know, abolish badness, everyone? That's my take.
No, I agree. And I get, you spiral a lot. But do the list. I think next week we should report back on our homeworks.
Okay. And it's just a list of good things we've done.
Yeah. Or just, like, how you meant, like, how it felt for you to do the list. Because I think it takes it... It takes the catastrophe out of it a little bit. Oh, he's writing it down.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to do it. That's the deep dive for next week.
Damn.
How about you? What's the problem? How can I fix it?
What's the problem you think I have?
I think you probably don't know how to communicate how brilliant you are sometimes and how to assert your brilliance.
Ew. You're right.
based on the story about getting a raise earlier in the podcast. Yeah, I think you need to sell yourself and take yourself seriously as someone with a lot to offer the world, because of course you do, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, you're so right. I'm like really unsure how to do it in like this like adult space, you know, and like spaces that I'm not entirely like comfortable with and I'm like don't have such grasp on, you know? And I think I definitely have like tall poppy, like I definitely feel the effects of like tall poppy syndrome and also knowing that I don't know everything.
It's
you know?
That thing of like, you know, the people who know the most think they know the least.
Yeah. What should I do about that?
I think that this podcast is part of us healing from that because we do talk out of our asses. And I think we both go, actually, I don't know enough to talk about this, but we do know a lot and I think enough to say things.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think speaking matters.
Period.
But as does listening.
Yeah. And around we go in the cycle. I agree. I think one of the problems that I was going to say that I have is that I'm quite lazy. So I think that I...
Or do you have undiagnosed ADHD?
Yeah, I know. And so like maybe I need to like diagnose.
Yeah.
Get that diagnosis. Ah, yeah. So is that your advice? What's your advice to me?
Try Dexys.
Okay. JK, you can only get it with a prescription, everyone.
Yes, yes. I'm not sure how you would try them without a prescription.
No, literally, there's actually no way. And that's the only way that everybody should be trialing them.
I've never sampled them myself.
No.
What's the craziest thing you're going to do this week?
Not the craziest thing, but something that I'm really looking forward to is I'm going over to my friend Maggie's house to have a Summer I Turn Pretty screening with some girlies. And I'm so excited about that because it's my favorite show with my favorite people.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I've been invited to In the Heights, which is a new musical opening in Melbourne.
Yes.
And I'm going to go walk the red carpet.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Wow, living the dream. That's right. Ryan is already niche famous. Let's go.
I'm on at least one PR list.
Yes. To get us on more PR list, tell a friend about this podcast and if you liked listening, please let us know in our Instagram DMs, our comments. If you're on Spotify, comment there. We love you so, so much. And we are so glad that we get to do this with each other. Okay, love you.